We're holding here in Perek Chof Zayin. So in Perek Chof Vav, he spoke about the concept of Dibur Torah L'Hashem Le'Adam, and what type of terminology the Torah allows itself to speak and what not. Perek Chof Zayin, he speaks about Unkelus Hager and being Marchik Hakshama. Unkelus Hager Sholem Me'oid B'Loshna Ibris Aramis. Unkelus Hager was extremely articulate both in Hebrew and in Aramis. Ukvar Som Ishtadlusa B'Siluk Hakshama. And a lot of his focus was to remove any term or to interpret any term that might evoke Hakshama. And he actually does this work of interpreting each word that might be akshama in kafir in yet. So whenever he finds a word that one might think means emotion, which he had said before, it can't mean, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, there's no emotion. Yosim inya tnuas he golos veiros ar nivra. So he defines it as the perceiving or the seeing of of this created light. Like we spoke many times before, that all these Yishanim hold that there's an ora nivra, there's something of a Kadosh Baruch that's created, and the Shechina is something that is equal to it. V'inhine tirgim yored Hashem, yiskali Hashem, v'yered Hashem, v'isk Hashem, v'le'oma unechas Hashem. So he never used the term, the physical term of going up or down, because anything as specific as that denotes real motion, and that's not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we have in motion is either HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing or not appearing. V'le'omer chas Hashem erdun v'era iskali ke'an v'odun v'zeh nimshal pifirushay. Okay, so that's generally he says about Targum. Now he shows something very fascinating, what he feels is a very fascinating insight in how careful the Rambam really was, how careful the Unkelus really was when he translated. He translated literally as I will go down in Mitzrayim. The fact that in that case specifically, in the Chalom of Yaakov specifically, he translated it as going down in the sense of actually ke'ilu, like we would translate a person going down, that shows you something about Unkelus, that he wasn't just a mechanical, you know, replace, every time a word is there, replace it with this. V'tu perusha v'avanosav k'yoshem, u'pasach lona b'zeh targum inyan god minyan nevua. And he therefore gave us a tremendous insight in nevua. V'hu, ki t'chila zeh asipa amar. If you look at the beginning of the parasha, it says, "Vayomer l'kim liYisrael b'maris halayla, vayomer Yaakov Yaakov v'chulu, vayomer anochu akel anochu erenucha mitzrayma." So, if we look at the story, it's a story of a dream that Yaakov had. Because kol atchil samayis is b'maris halayla, and being that the story itself sets itself up as a dream, lo hirchik unkelus sheyisupa mayma shnei maris halayla b'lshoyner. So now there's no problem in Unkelus describing it as an exact translation. Why? The story is not what Hashem is doing. The story is what Yaakov heard Hashem saying to him. So he certainly said those words to him. He's not saying Hashem went down. He's saying Hashem told me I will go down. וכמו יבר שם על סיני, אשר הוא סיפור מה שישחה שלא נמצוא. וירא השם על סיני, it means this is what happened. But in this case, it's what he dreamt. What he dreamt was that Hashem said, well, זה כינו איסי בירו איס, והרחיק מנו מה שירו מציאס התנוע. So normally when it says Vayera Shem Har Sinai, where the Torah seems to be describing to us an event that occurred, you cannot teach Vayera as meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu went down. But over here, Vadvarim HaDimyonim claim a Sipur Mashneim Olai, but when he's telling him over something that was told to him, Einicha Kashahoya, V'zeh Nifla, V'zeh Mufla. Now, getting an the Rambam here has two possible understandings. Unfortunately, both of them seem to be present, and yet they mean very different things. One way of understanding the Rambam is very simple. If I say that I am going to kill somebody, so the interpretation that is, I'm going to yell and scream at him and whatever it is. But when I say, I heard Reuben say, I'm going to kill him, that's, I don't need to give interpretation those words because I'm not talking about what he actually did. I'm talking about what I heard him say do. So here also, Yaakov is, the Torah is merely repeating what Yaakov heard in a dream. So that would be one way of understanding the Rambam, and that would make it very simple difference. There are a few issues with it, and it's not so simple at all. First of all, the Rambam says, and he will say, that he's teaching us something inyan gadol minyanei ha-nevuah. He's teaching us something unusual, incredible about nevuah. What's he teaching us about nevuah? What's incredible? It's a very simple statement. When the Torah describes a HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing motion, can't be. When the Torah describes a quote of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that, no problem. So it's very hard to see what he says that he's going to tell us an extraordinary description about nevuah. Nothing here really about nevuah. And then he goes down when it says chalom omar salayla. The next paragraph, the one we didn't do yet, very very hard to understand what in the world is he referring to. It's very simple. When the pasuk says God said, then you can write whatever you want. When the pasuk says God did, you have to translate it in line with some sort of meaning that's a metaphor. So it's not 100% that it is quoting. So one, two, if you think about it, there are actually three cases in the Torah. You have where it says, Vayered Hashem Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu went down Har Sinai. It describes an act. There, we must translate Gilui. That's perfectly well understood. The second case is where Hashem said, Anoche Ered Anola Ela, without a dream. Where Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to somebody awake, and Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I will be doing this. So the Torah simply is describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to do, not what he did. So why would there be a need over there to have that translation? And finally, the third case is, this is a case where it's a dream about a dream. It's a dream about HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying something. So there, for sure, it's something that can be translated literally. But the Rambam seems to be making two points. One is that since it's only a quote of HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, then you can do it the way it is. And he also says something about a dream being the an inyan of a chalom, which is something that is a different type of perception. Something about a chalom which is dimyoni. It's almost as if some statement that comes in a chalom can be understood differently. I'm not sure what. Umizet Tisairi says, Ki yesh hefresh gadol bein ma she'oma bei b'chaloi maris ha'layla, o ba ma she'oma bei b'machzor b'mare, o ba ma she'oma bei stam v'idva ha'shem ha'layla imor, o yom ha'shem ha'layla imor. So the Rambam says it follows that there's a difference between seeing it in a dream or having a Kaddish Baruch Hu speak directly to him. Why? It, the Targum is telling me, translating the Pasuk, Hashem did say, Anochi Eira Ered, and so on. So why can't you translate that literally? I don't know. Those are points that are not clear to me, but the Rambam seems to be weaving the other two points, and I'm missing something here. Okay. Before we go further, the Rambam has another pshat in this parasha, but the Ramban quotes this Rambam over here. The Ramban quotes it in Parashas Vayigash, I believe, and the Ramban goes to town against the Rambam. He brings many rayas in Targum where the Targum doesn't follow the formula that the Rambam prescribed for him. The Ramban, with the Kias, just tosses out tons of places where he doesn't say it that way. He uses also he does not like the concept of Or Nivra, of Kvod Hashem, and he says a phrase, V'ha'odin azeh min ha'kovod yivrach, that unkelis is boireach min ha'kovod. Very cute turn of phrase where he says unkelis did not favor kovod nivra. And he brings a lot of rayas where it's not as consistent as the Rama makes out to be. The only problem is when the Ramban tries to explain his own pshat, he says something along the lines of Hamaskel Yavin, Amevi Yavin, I don't remember, but one of those phrases where tachlis, what is pshat, it's not very, very user-friendly. Doesn't enlighten us at all. So I don't know. You can look at the Ramban yourself, but Akapanim, the Ramban is not at all user-friendly. So that's the Rambam's point. And now the Rambam has a different mahalach, a much simpler mahalach in explaining this parasha. Be'efshoid etzli, ke'unklas pirsh Elohim anema heina malach. He bechlal understood this to mean a malach. Did not understand this to mean the Rebbein Shem Kavi Yoch, but a malach. V'lazeh lo hirchik she'om ha'bo'adna eichu simach l'mitzrayim. So b'meila, malachim can come, go, do whatever you want. You know, whether malach physically comes or goes is irrelevant. It's not, if somebody believes a malach has hands and fingers like a human being, he may be wrong or may be right, but he's not an Epicurus. There's no Epicurus when a person thinks a malach has a physical hand. So he says, he says, maybe he'll ask me, how could you learn this? This is talking about a malach came to him. It says, I am the God of your father. We do find this lashon used by malachim. It says, Yaakov, Yaakov, v'ayma hineini. So we see in the Amalek comparing to him in a cholam and saying Yaakov, ubesoyfsi bedvar of imoy anecha keil beisel asham ashachti sham atzeva shnedati sham neder. So the Malach is using the personal term klape Moshe as if he would be the God, and we see it's not a problem. Vein sofek Yaakov nader leivlo lo Malach. So I was the name of the Vanavim claim a sipa advarim as a yemrim lahem a malach bavor aloikai, Roshain diba like lahem, vein kulum bechisorin hamitstari. Because Kilo Ama Anoichi shluach alayavicha. Anoichi shluach alayavicha beis el gezle. He says all of those cases where Malachim spoke in first person as if they're God, it's all shorthand. You know, just as if leaving out, I am a shliach. The reason is because shluch shon kemoisei. It's anything that is bottle to me. If I ask a lawyer to write a letter for me, in a case, it will say so on behalf of my client. I say X, Y, and Z. When your secretary is typing the letter, So she doesn't write on behalf of my boss. She writes the letter, and the old days, I don't know if it still exists, you know, you have on the bottom who dictated to whom. But that's kind of a formality. The letter is written first person in the person that that is the boss. The reason is, it's very simple. When a lawyer is writing for a client, the client is the lawyer is an independent entity as a lawyer. He is a lawyer who is representing so-and-so or so-and-so in this case. But there's no bitul be'etzem. It's not shloshan k'moise. Masha ein kein, when you have a secretary, the secretary is just, it's like saying, you know, when you write with a pen, the pen doesn't say, I, the Parker pen, am writing this. It's one yare richter. There's a famous story with Reb Chaim Briska. He needed to write a letter to the government. I think about the Lemudei Chol in the schools. Reb Chaim did not know Russian, and he took a lawyer, who was a very famous lawyer, to write the letter for him. The lawyer was obviously a maskil of some sort, educated. His name was Schlossberg. And he asked him to write the letter. He told him the basic ideas, and he asked him to translate and to write. So Schlossberg turned to Reb Chaim and he said, I don't get you. This interaction is proving that you need to be educated, because look, you're helpless without Schlossberg. So without me. So obviously, you know, it's almost self-defeating the way you write in the letter. So again, I don't know what I do this way. The story goes, Reb Chaim said, no. He said, you also can't write a letter. You need a paper and a pen and a table to write on. I need a paper, a pen, a table, and a Schlossberg. So it's just a question of how many little implements we need. In the Shlucha Sharon Kemoisei, so a malach is a shliach ne'eman. He has no self. And b'meila, when he says anochi, he can be talking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same way like the Torah writes about Moshe as the third person. Vaidaba Hashem el Moshe lemor. Isn't Moshe writing it? Why doesn't he say Vaidaba Hashem? I lie. The answer is Moshe as the writer of the Torah is totally a bottle to the event, to the dictation. So he sees himself as a third party, not singular. The Ramban says it more or less. It's Shchinim Deber Eslach Grona, he calls it. So therefore, it's not far-fetched at all to learn that it's the Malach. So basically just missing the one that is, it's missing that pronoun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have many points we've made about Nevuah, its unique status, and Malachim, and so on. Okay, Perek Chav Ches, Regel. Shem mishtatev hu shem leregel balachayim. So regel obviously means a foot. No two ways about it. People gan kemina he moshech hachadova. So when you follow somebody, the word regel also makes sense. Like it says, seyato v'chol om asher b'raglecho, the nation that's in your wake. In yonoy hanemshochem achrecho. V'yipol gan kebinyan hasiba. So A follows B physically. So this is, but you can also use it to describe cause and effect. Like, leregel hamalacha shalafana regel ayilodim, because of the work I have to do. In Cain, omrois, okay. So now he has three definitions. The most abstract one being the third one, where regel means cause. Now he says, using this, he says a beautiful pshat. It says that the day will come when the Ragla of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be standing in Har HaZeisim. What does that mean? Ritzon Eloheinu Kiyum Sibosof. It means the fulfillment of all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been putting into the Brias. In other words, all of the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mechanism to bring the Geula into being. So just like imagine some event happens, and the person who perpetrated said, "Finally, my plans have become fulfilled." So in other words, all the pieces I put into place to cause this have now finally found their place. The under raglov means the causes. So until the day that Mashiach comes, many pieces of the puzzle, many things that have happened, are not clear to us why they happened and what purpose they are. Lasid Lavoi. When everything finally comes to its destination, there'll be raglov will stand by Yemahu, which means all of the events will have found their place will have come to their final destination. So claim hanifloes shows makwashu is supposed to be claim oisam bazer pirish not the yenis mazil ama the yiskele bigvurte vemahu al tours isaya and you target kol maise maga vehete gvurte in the rotsim khulama pulos of isaya. So anything that happens and comes about because that's the word ragla fits and makes sense. Omna omrei besachas ragla kmaise vesasapa. There's a passage that says on the kadosh baruch hu's feet kaviyachol kmaise vesasapa pirish unkus by kmaise adapter shows some kini raglov shavalakise. So he says that raglov is going on the chair. In other words, on the kise kaviyachol, its feet are standing on livas asape. Shows some kini raglov amav vutchois kursi yikari. Under is kisa covered. You have this evna asape. Ve'havim v'poli ma'achokas unkas aksham cholamei v'leo afilu b'derech rochik. Take a look how he put down many layers of insulation between Hakshama and the way he explains the pasuk. So le'omas chus kursei. He didn't say under the chair. Shem hoye miyachz akise loyal inya movin tchila amitzchay v'esid nismachal geshem v'esichay v'gashmos. So if kisei could somehow apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'd have some sort of hakshama that way. V'yichas hakisei liyikare, klema lashchina sh'ar nivra. So even the kisei, a chair, makes sense only for something that can rest on something. Shchina can rest on something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above it. So therefore, yichas hakisei liyikare, klema lashchina sh'ar nivra. In Amma Betargum Kiyola Keska, Mikodoma la Kodeshina Kurse Yakara. In Tim Tsaloshan Kolom Kise Hakovai. So he learns, we learn, everybody says Kise Hakovai means the majestic throne, kind of. He learns it means the throne of the majesty. In other words, majesty sits on this throne. Okay. Now, so now I want to get back to the main point. Omnom pirish unkelis kvayadate. So, okay, we have unkelis is pshat. Elashetachlis dvare harchik akshama. He's telling you the main point is he's trying to distance you from akshama, which is nice. V'leibilon ezadav esigo, but he didn't tell us what it is exactly that they saw. So what is a mashal? Fine. You've made it, childproof that you can't think of it as akshama. But what are we talking about? So he says, the Unglis is not out to explain these metaphors. Basically, he's trying to say, one thing is, However you understand that it's not a foot. So he says a very interesting reason why Unkelis sticks to just being Machiach Shama, and doesn't explain the mashal. He says to be Machiach Shama is 100% vaday. There's no two ways about it. You must say that we're talking about the Korei and so on. If the interpretation, there are many possible interpretations. So Unkelis is something that has different possible interpretations. Unkelis is not going to get involved in it. But the thing that you must have, anything that's not muchrach, Unkelis is the most closest to text. Nasha ein kein, something that you have to have, that will always be there. But I feel, as part of my sefer, I need to explain it. And he's going to explain it. The word raglov means cause. So let's explain what he's talking about over here. The Ramban says this also, and this was a widely understood concept, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from a very, very vague and formless entity, which Ramban brings to the Greek and calls it Chomer Hiyuli, and made out of it very, very specific items and elements. So he went from having the first creation was a very unspecified material. All it was material. And then from that material, much else was woven into being. Very similar to, you know, when you start with raw material and you make something final out of it. That's Rashi also says. Rashi says everything was under the ground, and then in its appropriate day it came out. Kilu Bria Solom came in two stages. So he says that. Vashe Sigu Hu Amitas Achomer Rishon. They understood that primary matter. Ashumetis Baruch Hu Sibas Mitzusay. And they understood the link between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the most primary of matters. That's sort of the one place, because within the context of this world, everything has a physical cause. If we keep tracing things, they keep having causes and causes and causes. So A is caused by B, B is caused by C, C is caused by D, and so on. At some point, we're going to come to a junction where we ran out of causes. This is caused by Bnei Shalom. This is a Bria Yesh Ma'ayin. So he was masig. They were masig. The thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the direct cause of its existence. Take a look. It says kimas elivus asapi. Ve'ilois hakavana hamare. If we would just be talking about what it looked like, what does it mean kimas elivus asapi? So therefore he says the chomer is something that accepts any type of development or work on it. Which is by transformative. Vilaze omalov kimaise. The omnom livnas asape. So one point he makes is that this was primary matter, and the fact that it is something that you can work it into anything else. The omnom livnas asape. It says it looked clear like crystal. Huloshna la zoya le marlova. It doesn't mean white, but it means radiant or transparent. is really the way he's trying to say. Today that we have windows, and windows are ubiquitous, transparent is not a big chiddush. In the old days, transparent was very big chiddush. There were very few things in nature that were transparent. You know, the water is transparent, but rocks and so on, very, very few. And each one that was transparent was more a certain chiddush. I mean, it is something that we're used to seeing through, but how can you see through something if it's solid? Vazohar, so he says, Azohar ain't a marriage. Transparency is not a color, which is personal TV. She ilohoya mara, because if it would be a color, lohoya mara marim kol macham kabling. There's no way it could show you other colors. It couldn't show you red, green, and so on. Akashahoya geshma mazin neda marim kulam. When, since it was colorless, it was transparent, yikabu meza marim kulam zechaze. So we're talking about a primary matter that its main trait is it accepts all colors and all shapes. It is the ultimate stem cell, the ultimate primary material which everything else can come from. So this aptly describes that chomerishin. It has no self-image. It's material that's ready to accept any type of imposition of color, shape, and so on. So what they perceived, what they understood, what they heard, was that first chaim yichusakai. This is the first element that is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but an element of this world. So they were able, they had a very deep vision. They were able to see the world through, until the most shorishtik of all nekudos. That's what it was. And that's described as Maise Livnas HaSapet. It is the thing that is becomes everything, and it is and it has no property of its own, but it can become anything you want it to be. And that's Tachas Raglov. It immediately follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Siba. Everything else from that material you make racks, that's a second step. From the racks you make houses, that's a third step. The first step, the one that's tachas raglov, is this chayma. V'dai says shat the tzorich lekemoiza apirush vafilipish unklis ashama tchais korsi korik chayma. So aki achayma rishon gankim b'emes tachas shemayim and korim kisek mashakoda. So he says v'lohe roni alze apirush amufle v'amtzi inyan ledava motzatz rebbez ben horkris. He says what caused me to think about this pshat is a medrash I found in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. You're going to hear it later on. So the point of it all is to be marchik any type of action of Kadosh Baruch Hu and to understand all of these different asagas in a ruchnis way. Okay, we're going to hold it here. Next week, Thursday, I'm not going to be, I don't think I'll be able to have the shiur. It's going to be difficult. So we'll hold it here meanwhile. And the Mitzvah Shem, if there's Chayi Shiur, we'll get back again into action. So, Chag Kosher Sameach. And Mitzvah Shem, we'll see afterwards.